well-pressed and well-dressed. You can't see any of that, though, because this is radio.
2SER.com.
Try not to look upon a road with judging eyes and find yourself wanting. I'd like to knuckle down and know that it...
Kat, thank you for taking some time out to have a chat here on The Band Next Door, here on 2SER. This second record from Lack the Low, it's called God Carrier, and it really does stand out on its own as a carefully crafted album. The attention to detail is astounding, and I'm sure all the perfectionists out there will get a kick out of how intrinsic this record is. But I'm curious as to how long it takes you to build these kind of albums, not necessarily in terms of only pre-production, but even just putting upon layer of sound. Like, how long do you have to spend to bring these visions to life?
That's a good question. It takes me a really long time. So, I mean, often I'll be working on any one song, like lots of songs at the same time, but any one song might take, you know, over a year. And a lot of that is the writing process. Like, I tend to start writing a song in maybe a more traditional songwriting way and then take it into the computer and start producing it and let the song grow and the arrangement change over time. So that's a big reason why it takes me a long time. Also, sure. I'm definitely a perfectionist when it comes to recording the parts that I'm playing and trying to get the best sound and continuing to grow my skills in recording and producing and mixing. So as I get better at any one thing, I'll listen back to my work so far with dissatisfaction and redo things. So yeah, it often takes a really long time.
So if I was to kind of like peek into your workstation at the moment, what would I kind of see in terms of songs? Are you someone who has like a whiteboard full of ideas that never really go anywhere, or are you build everything on your kind of like audio workstation, so to speak?
So I definitely have song ideas just come to me randomly.
Okay.
Rarely in the form of lyrics, but occasionally. So I do have just like text files on my computer, but oftentimes it's like a melody or riff or chord progression will come to me. So that ends up in voice memos on my phone. And then sometimes I have the time to like flesh that idea out on the day, but sometimes not. Sometimes a voice memo can just sit there for, you know, 3 to 6 months, and then I'll be like, oh, I have a hankering to make something. What's the idea that I've made so far that really speaks to me? Or sometimes those different ideas over a number of weeks, just because of whatever mindset I was in or whatever I was thinking about a lot, they'll have common themes, and so they can kind of be stitched together. And then, you know, once I decide to go ahead with an idea and try and make it into something, then normally I'll workshop it at the piano, singing, or sometimes I'll just go straight to working in the box. So working with Ableton and doing some sound design, trying to map out how I want the song to grow over time. So that's kind of the process. But yeah, lots of Ableton files, lots of voice memos.
How far do you push an idea before you realize that it kind of won't work?
With God Carrier, this is a very specific situation in that normally with most of my work, I will just try and get it right to the end. And that's partly to do with artistic process. There's a lot of artists who will tell you they're great at starting things and not finishing things. So I always try and put the pressure on myself to actually get things to the finish line, even if that's just part of the learning and growth process. But with this album in particular, it was part of a longer group of songs. I originally had like 11 or 12 songs that I was looking at that just didn't seem to gel together as a group with the kind of vision that I was trying to put forward in terms of production and arrangement. And so I ended up kind of half finishing those and just having to cut out, you know, half of these songs, which at the time was like a little bit painful. I'm really happy with the ones that I ended up with, and I think they tie together in terms of a kind of theme and narrative much better.
Written it all.
though this is your second record, I'm pretty much certain that it's not your first exploration as a musician. So what were you doing before you undertook the work of this solo project?
Well, I've been in lots of different bands of different genres because as you'll have heard on different releases of mine, sometimes I play saxophone or violin. So I've been in kind of folk fiddle groups. I've been in groups playing more kind of like jazz music, but I've always really enjoyed songwriting and had some kind of songwriting output. But I would say that, you know, from high school into my early 20s, I was really trying to make it work with bands, like writing my music and then bringing it to a band of people. At some point I moved to England, which meant that I had to kind of meet people all again. I didn't have any of my instruments that I'd brought over. So yeah, I had to kind of like wipe the slate clean, start again, and really rethink, okay, like if I want to write my own music, is it best to try and force that onto a group of people, or am I more interested in developing the recordings? So, I mean, that has pros and cons, of course, because once you've made something in the studio or in your computer, sometimes that thing can never be performed live, right? Yeah. So that's the kind of trade-off that I have with this project. But yeah, so I started working on Lack the Low stuff in about 2015. And at that stage, I really didn't have any skills in Ableton or in production or mixing. So I really had to like lift myself up by the bootstraps or whatever, you know, and kind of like learn everything from scratch at that stage.
Were you always so classically inclined as well?
Yeah, well, my first instrument was violin, and I actually started that when I was 4 years old in the Suzuki method. There was always that influence, but also my mum is a pipe organist, so I grew up around like church music, choirs, that kind of thing. My mum's a pipe organist, and actually her mum was an organist and her mum was an organist.
Wow.
So it's inevitable that at some point I'll have to get on the pipe organ. But in the meantime, there are quite a few of my songs where I've written parts for pipe organ and then, yeah, had my mum play those parts in the church that she plays for and recorded in the church. And it's been a pretty cool experience. I also used to do page turning for organ recitals a few years ago as a job. So I got immersed in a lot of really incredible organ music during that time.
Your voice fits within this album without any effort at all. Like, it's there and it fits the theatrics of the record. But I must admit, lyrics aren't always the first thing that I pay attention to. So what do you find yourself writing about these days, and how do you, you know, manage to fit your voice into such a dense record without harking away from some of the more finer elements of the actual music itself?
In terms of the voice fitting in, even though I do play quite a few instruments and have big arrangements in mind, I do feel like my voice is still the instrument that I have the biggest connection to. I mean, obviously it's in my body,
yeah.
But beyond that, I've been working as a voice teacher more than a decade now, and it's the instrument of mine that I spend a whole lot of time practicing and trying to figure out how I can express things in the most nuanced way possible using the instrument I've been given. That really is like a central part to the expression of the, you know, the emotion of the piece, and it's normally a central part in the writing process as well. I started writing songs when I was quite young. I have memories of writing little songs for myself when I was, you know, in primary school, and then kind of thinking about songwriting more seriously in high school. And I've always been quite protective over my lyric writing process. And I think that's partly because when I first started writing songs, they were probably almost like diary entries. And the idea of having someone scrutinize them, or even of myself scrutinizing them, it was like too vulnerable, too close to home. I wanted to just allow whatever words came to mind to be there on the page. And I think I've like kept an element of that as my songwriting process has grown. I tend to think increasingly over the last number of years of lyrics as kind of like an oblique argumentative essay. So I normally start off with a certain emotion And then my aim is to think, okay, how can I best get this emotion into the heart of my listener? And so I just try to be as truthful as possible. I try and paint pictures with my words that will give the truest sense of whatever that feeling or situation is. And then just be, again, very unscrutinizing. I try to write the lyrics quite quickly and then not touch them too much after that.
Are you purposely being ambiguous, do you think? Or is there still like a real point of core from where you're coming from?
In my own mind, I'm purposely being specific, but the language that I have to use to develop that specificity is sometimes poetic and referential in a way that does seem kind of oblique or sometimes a bit esoteric. Again, occasionally I come up with lyric ideas by themselves, but normally when I'm writing lyrics, I'm also writing chords and arrangement. And so for me, the emotional context of the words is really embedded into the chords and arrangement, and the lyrics, they can kind of live on their own, but they're not meant to. It's kind of hard to describe. It's like in the same way that you could say the same sentence multiple times with different inflections, or you could have the same figure in the center of a painting, but then have storm clouds, or have like an aquatic ocean scene in the background, or have, you know. And so whatever I'm saying with my lyrics, it's always contextualized with some kind of background information. And so for me, the message that I'm sending is quite specific, but if you look at the lyrics by themselves, they're not necessarily. One of the interesting things about God Carrier is that so many of the themes on it are about finding ways to be kinder to ourselves, be kinder to others, live more slowly, and in ways that are more fulfilling. And the ironic thing is that while I was working on that record, I was working so hard that I definitely wasn't being kind to myself. Like, I mean, I think the lyrics were serving me as much as they were serving whoever I was trying to reach. Life has changed for me a lot after these last 2 years of COVID and lockdown. Sure. So I'm just really interested in figuring out how my artistic practice can grow or look different into the future in a way that might serve my life better in terms of the bigger picture.